Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We have some sad news at this moment we want to talk about. And you see the things that are happening on college campuses. At some point, you always got to pay for what you do. If you walk down the dark road, at some point, you're going to to pay. And whatever the drug dealer gives you today for free, he's going to make you pay as you get addicted later on. And our young people are paying. They've been sold a bill of goods that, you know, you can say anything you want to, do anything you want to. Everything's going to treat you well. You know, life owes you. And it won't respond. Life will not respond that way to you. Mm-hmm. And it causes people to get depressed. And it causes people to, you know, people jump on the bandwagon at first because they think, man, does this mean everything's going to work out for me?
Yeah, perfect.
That I am going to be God and everything's going to come my way and I'm just going to play my whole life.
I'll be celebrated everywhere I go for the rest of my life.
Those little selfies, and then snapping pictures of my food. And it's like, oh, this is just great.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden one day it's like, I got to pay for that phone I'm taking a selfie with. I got to pay for that food that I'm eating.
That's called the reality.
Yeah.
Reality.
And withholding that knowledge that you can't go this way and it work out, it can be very depressing. As a matter of fact, tell us what's going on college campuses right now.
Yes. Recent article published by WND.com. And we'll make sure this is related for you in the Torch. But the title of this article, it says, "It's true. College is driving your kids insane."
That's a huge statement.
Insane.
You're sending your kids there to get an education, to learn how to function in life, and yet the little bit of capabilities that they had, they're driving that part. They're ruining that part.
Completely.
Insane.
Yeah, insane. And the article begins to talk about all the things that are happening right now on college campuses across the United States, even what we've shared here on this program regarding the recent petition that circulated amongst Yale students, which is an Ivy League prestigious type of college, were traditionally very difficult to get in. But 60 students, I believe, within an hour signed the petition that they would be okay with giving up the First Amendment.
You got to have the First Amendment to be able to say that.
Hello. Yes.
And this is Yale, which means these are people that were selected out of the cream of the crop.
So
you know, supposedly the higher intellect of what's going on. And they voted, which proved a little something there. Possibly it's not the highest. But the First Amendment gives you the right to be able to speak freely, to be able to protest the government, to worship freely. The government can make no laws concerning your religion. Freedom of the press.
Mm.
I mean, they couldn't even have said that without the First Amendment.
And to petition.
Yeah, and the petition. You couldn't have said it and they petitioned it.
Yeah.
And so they exercised the First Amendment to say they wanted to do away with the First Amendment.
Nuts. So that's worth it.
Well, that's insane. Insanity is doing something over and over again and expecting different results. That was insane to use the First Amendment to try to kill the First Amendment.
Yeah.
That's insanity, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. The other thing they cite is in regards to right after the Paris...
I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not making any diagnosis.
No
here.
Medical
that's
diagnosis.
That's just my opinion.
Your opinion.
Okay. My opinion.
All right. I like it. Well, they talk about, too, in regards to what happened in Paris with after 130 people lost their life. Tragic event in Paris. I mean, just horrific. The same day as breaking news is coming out of Paris that these people are being slaughtered.
Right.
The Twitter sphere and social
Twitter
media.
Twitter is a social media type thing where people are posting 35 letters or less.
160 characters or less.
160 characters or less in their opinions and their ideas.
Right. Well, I mean, all these opinions start flying reportedly amongst college students saying now all the attention that was happening on these college campuses that we were getting is now going to these people out there in Paris.
Over 100 dead people killed by radical Islamic terrorists, and they were talking about this is the whole thing. And it's just idolatry focused on oneself like that. But the thing is that life's not like that.
Mm.
It's not going to work out like that. If you get married to someone and you think it's all about you, that marriage is not going to make it.
No.
It's just not going to make it. You'll be really surprised. They're going to let you know this is not just about you.
Yeah.
You know, you go to business and get in a job, and, you know, they're not going to let the whole company revolve around you.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening.
Well, this reminds me of what we've talked about on this program regarding when President Obama said to Israel that they should go back to the 1967 borders.
Undefensible borders. He didn't put the undefensible part in there, but that's undefensible borders.
Chuck Pierce gave a word indicating that if Israel goes back to 1967.
Since he said it,
yeah,
America will go back to the 1967 reality of what was going on.
And what
do
we have in 1967 on college campuses?
Riots across the land, riots on campuses. We had the 25th Amendment was passed during that time, which is a significant thing based on things that God has been talking to us about.
But this rebellious, radical,
anti-protest against the Vietnam War in Washington, D.C., there, which was John Kerry.
Yeah.
John Kerry, the Secretary of State, around that time, was throwing his medals and testifying before Congress against the military. And now he's the Secretary of State negotiating this deal that just got dealt out Israel.
Implemented, right, with Iran.
In America, with Iran. And it's like, this is a wild, wild world right now.
Yeah, pay attention because they're talking about the indoctrination of students right now. And the article talks to them in, quote, useful idiots.
Oh, wow, do they?
And the ground troops for the radical left and all this type of stuff that's going on. But he says that what's missing in all of this, it's not being discussed, is how right now among college students that suicide, Greg, is the second most common cause of death among college students. Think about that.
Yes.
We're sending our students to school, our children to school to learn, to get a higher education, and they're killing themselves on college campuses. You got to ask yourself, and the article begins to talk about, why is this happening?
Right.
And what they're finding is that a lot of these young people that are going to college, their innocence is being absolutely robbed with everything that's happening there on this subculture. I always tell people that college is a subculture of the world. It's its own little world going on with thousands of students on campus. And everything from sex week and all these different things that they promote on college campus. Well, one of the things that this article reports is regarding the stress that students, once they leave their home, they're on this college campus, and now they have to deal with political correctness on a level that they have never even faced before. All the transgender issues, all the prefixes, and the retaliation that they would get if they step out of line for any reason. So now they're under
it's unrealistic.
Yeah, I mean, they're just in this box.
Everybody's cool with things that doesn't affect them, but the moment affects them, they're shocked. But yet they push so far at that point, and these other things that didn't affect them, it's like this whole momentum begins to just go.
Yeah.
And they have like freedom of speech areas now on college campuses. You can say anything you want to in this small box, but you can't say anything. You
know, one
particular president said of a college said that we're not running a daycare here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that the big thing is that people are being talked down to, being treated badly, and they don't know it.
Mm.
You know, being treated like a useful idiot, the way that they talk about in Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals and, you know, Cloward and Piven and all these different things. And it's you know, you may be hurting in your life and going through some difficult time. You're trying to find yourself and you're seeing all these things changing and shifting. As of 2 years ago, 10 years from 2 years ago, which is 8 years from today, 50% of all the jobs that existed 2 years ago won't even be here in eight.
Mm.
I mean, you've got to begin to get your roots and get your bearings for where you're going. And this is this confusion, this chaos, this promising you socialism. And this, you know, socialism works, what Margaret Thatcher said, until you run out of other people's money.
Right.
And you will, because people just will move to different countries with their companies.
Mark Cuban, billionaire, you know, owner of the Dallas Mavericks on Shark Tank, says that college right now, they said the next big bubble right now is the college loans, because well, these colleges have realized they can charge any amount of money knowing, listen, if you're selling a product and you guarantee that the people you're selling a product to has automatic financing and they can afford it, what do
and
you do?
And tenure.
Yeah, you raise your price.
Yeah, no, you gotta, yeah, it's amazing what they're charging for an education. And this thing, you know, talk to a graduate. Talk to a graduate. And like, I want to hear $65,000 conversation here.
More like $100,000. Yeah. I mean, it's huge.
even a $25,000 conversation. Yeah. Because if you hire somebody directly out of 4 years of education and thousands of dollars of investing and all these men and women who are professors that poured their lives into them, these should be some highly intelligent, intellectual, problem-solving type individuals. But yet, it's more a lot. Not everyone, but there comes this push of radical push of transformation, of protest, of, you know, changing the system. It's like you are the system.
Yeah,
you
entitlement.
Are the entitlement. And at some point, whether you find this out on your third year of welfare because you a young person on welfare because you didn't understand what it took to get your stuff to the place you needed to be in? Or will you find this out, you know, 3 years into a bad relationship? Will you find this out, you know, sitting in jail somewhere because everything came in on you and you could not do that and they actually took you to jail? There's things that that are being promoted reportedly from our own government that they're doing reportedly that if you did it, they would be the ones that put you in jail and put you in jail for a long time. Yeah. And they wouldn't be there crying for you. They wouldn't support you. They wouldn't give you an attorney. They might give you an attorney to represent you, you know, if you don't have one, the rights, Miranda rights. But they're doing things right now, reportedly, that if you did that, without hesitation, they would put you in jail.
Think about how many students right now are leaving Christian homes that have been raised a certain way with some values, and now parents are sending their children to these campuses, and those values are being totally annihilated.
70%, right around about that, 70% of Christian young people who are sent to college campuses by their parents. I mean, think about it. You raised your child to be a Christian, to follow God, and you send them to this campus. 70% leave Jesus. They leave their faith. 70%. Why would you? I mean, if you knew that there's a 70% chance that your kid would die of cancer if you fed them this lead-based water, would you feed them the lead-based water? But today, Americans get this mindset. It's like, you know, you may have to admit the fact is, like, I'm tired of this kid and I want them to get busy. Just tell them that. Tell them to get a job, but don't send them to a place that's going to kill them. Don't pay for it.
Wow.
You know? And then not only that, John, I know we're fixing to go to a break, but not only that, but even what's professed as Christian campuses, because there was one particular conservative Christian campus where one of the professors was wearing a Christian, wearing a hijab, saying we serve the same God. They're so mixed up.
Yeah.
And, but 50% of Christians who go to, quote, Christian universities with the foundation, they leave their faith.
Mm.
I mean, what do you want? I mean, they're going to leave fully in debt. Not many job opportunities. They learned the opposite of what they needed to learn. They potentially 70% of them have left God.
Most of them are leaving with degrees that are not absolutely employable.
They're promoting those kind of degrees. Yeah, they're promoting those. It's like, what? You know, you need to learn how to build something, how to hold something together.
How did you graduate 4 years with a basket weaving degree? Who allowed that to happen?
Right. And the best education you can get, really, is to begin to work, get involved in the business that you want to be able to do. Become an intern. Listen, somebody says, I'm not going to work for free. Well, look at this. You go to college for 4 years and you pay somebody to learn nothing. For nothing. You don't learn anything. And then you got to go learn something to go get a job. So what if you go intern at a place that you want to work at, and you'll find out you'll be the first person they hire because you're the one that really wants to be able to work there. It's an amazing thing. It's been around for years. America's just kind of lost that concept of being able to intern into where they want to be. Listen, we have an offer for you. When we get back, we want to talk to you more.
We also want to share with them about the prophetic dream that was just shared about what God's going to do on college campuses as well.
Make sure you come back after the break because it's a powerful – Lord's talking about revival on college campus. If you couldn't tell from the image we're looking at, that's actually somebody's face who's buried in the books. You're seeing that's this very depressed student. Right. Thanks. Control room, we appreciate that. It's a person there.
It's a person.
And if he was bald,
at
least he's got some hair right there.
Yeah, that's good.
Unlike Pat. You know, Pat's got that thing going, you know, the thing.
Balding, I don't know.
Thing. Mm. Anyway.
Wow. Well,
came out
wow. Comments.
Yes, Lord. Somebody. Well, we will not mention the wig. Anyway, so it was depressing what we're talking about college.
Yes, very much so.
But that's when God moves, when things start looking like that, when people feel hopeless, that's when hope comes. People start looking for hope.
Yeah.
And when hope shows up, it just comes in like a big, tall glass of water. After being in a desert experience, and what has the Lord shown you about that?
Well, I'll tell you, I know that God has an amazing plan for young people. It's probably why the attacks on them are so heavy and so strong, because the enemy knows it as well.
Yeah.
But I just had a night vision. I had a dream that the Lord showed me a bunch of college students in a huge auditorium, and they were gathered around tables. They were having fellowship, but it was like revival. It was a move of God that was happening.
On college campus.
On college campus. It was so refreshing. Mm-hmm. They were excited and energetic, and they were so in love with God. You can just tell what was happening. And then I happened to in this dream, I met the leader, whoever was, you know, ministering here to these young people. And he was so humble. And in this encounter, in this dream, we all knew that what had happened on this college campus and this revival and all these young people, I mean, just so in love with God. We, first of all, knew that it was a special thing. Apparently, we had the knowledge that we have now that, you know, things traditionally have not been well on a college campus. But we knew this was special. And secondly, we knew that this was happening because it was birthed in prayer. This was something that was just came out of a time of prayer and the church praying. And so I want to encourage you right now not to give up on colleges. We're certainly not doing that, and we're just talking about what's real and what is happening. But there are young people that God wants to use in a mighty way. In fact, he's using them on different college campuses really all across the country, and they're the minority. They're the ones that are being ostracized, and they're the ones that are being ridiculed, and they're standing firm as best that they can. If you have a young person who isn't, pray for them and pray that God will move on these college campuses.
Well, it reminds me of Ashbury. You remember Ashbury?
Yeah, when, Ashbury College.
Yeah, when they the students, a move of God happened amongst the students. The faculty had to watch what was going on because they didn't even know it.
Yeah.
And they just began to stand up and in a small group at first and just begin to say, you know, I'm a sinner. I've committed this sin. I've done this sin. And then they were just confessing their sin. And then another person stood up and they started saying, I've sinned. They're just identifying sin.
Yeah.
And saying, I've done it. And then as they begin to do that, God just, his presence began to manifest in a powerful way. And revival broke out. Revival broke out, you know, and it began to spread with all the nation. It was, I think it was the CBS News. I forget who the anchor man was at that particular time because there was only a handful back then. Yeah. That they were reporting on it, right? You know, this is a big move of God. And the president's going, I'm not going to touch it. The president of the university is saying, you know, I'm not going to touch it.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you've tried everything, I think about, you know, Misty Edwards at International House of Prayer and Intercession and Music. And she just, you know, sings to the Lord. And one of her songs that she sings is, you know, Love Sick.
Mm.
But there's another song that she sings, I Will Not Relent, you know. And it's God just saying, I'm coming after you. And you mix those, you listen to those lyrics. She talks about this generation that's done everything, tried everything, seen everything, and nothing satisfies. So there's nothing out there. They've seen it all, thought about it, and all those kind of different things. They're saying, listen, that doesn't do it. I know it doesn't do it. I want God. And this is where she's saying, you know, and going after God, one of her books, I think her book was called What's the Point, right?
What's the Point, yeah.
What's the Point? And it's just an exciting thing when you start seeing young people. We believe, you know, Azusa 2.0, Azusa Street happened, of course, in 1906, yep. I guess. And without computers, without, you know.
Text messaging, social media, iPads, iPhones.
I mean, they had to mail it and hope that the mail system of 1906 got it there. And, but yet the whole world was shaken by the Azusa Street Revival.
Yeah.
And it was, these were young folks. These were young people, like 17 years old. God is using them to minister to all these thousands of people that are coming there to Azusa Street and in California.
Yeah.
And they would stick their fingers in people's mouths that didn't have teeth, and God would grow teeth back. Limbs grew back. Miracles were happening. And God was just stirred the whole love beast up.
In the dream I saw, too, there was signs of wonders and miracles, too.
On the college campuses.
Yeah, on the college campuses, yeah.
Wow, that's
exciting.
Amazing, that's exciting. That's what our God does. You know, that's what our God does. And we'll make this related to you. You actually can see the Ashbury Revival. We have some clips of that where it's just amazing to see. We've got a couple little newscasters going on. And it's happened. Auburn's had a move of God up in Auburn, I understand. And other universities have had it. You know, this is the biggest fear. This is one thing that people who don't want God or want the things of God or want America to be a Christian nation, they're showing their hand.
Mm.
I mean, they have, out of 100 cards, for example, they have 98% of these cards. But yet when they see two cards in someone else's hands, they start panicking.
Mm.
You know why? Because they know that what they're doing is the way to transform a culture. And if you got just two of those things, you can transform this culture with two of those, whatever God's telling you. And don't just shut down and go, well, you know, they're not letting people talk about God on the campuses. And they're not, you can't have a Christian group. And if you've got a Christian group, you got to be able to invite people in who hate Jesus.
Right.
You know,
it's like, allow them to be the president of the Christian group.
Yeah. And then, and the thing is that you have the First Amendment. You don't lose your First Amendment rights when you walk onto a college campus. Yeah. You don't lose your First Amendment rights. And that is the right for you to worship freely. That's a right for you to be able to speak freely and to even petition, you know, the government. If that's a government college that you're going to that's federally funded, you know, you have the right to be able to petition it and say, you know, this is not right. This is what we're going to do. We're going to have this thing. We meet the criteria to be able to have a group here. And you could begin a prayer room on that campus and begin to not be religious, just be relational. Begin to do kind acts. People are so hungry for kindness.
Be genuine.
Authentic kindness.
Authentic,
don't show up with a rose flower and be dressed in a sheet like somebody in the airport trying to give you something.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I want to be nice to you.
Let me tell you how bad you are, too.
That will freak them out. But just be nice, you know, without expecting. And this is how it's gotten to today. If you're nice to someone, you know that there's a huge long-term commitment to that. Because if I say you did a good job, they're going to deliver you a report card that you have to fill out. You're going to have to submit it to the company. They're going to send you an email. You got to reply back to them. Or, you know, can you tell so-and-so for me? Or what? It's like, listen, it's just receive some kindness if someone wants to be nice to you. And I'm telling you right now, no matter how confident, you know, a young person looks at college and they have this sense of sometimes a slight tinge of arrogance maybe, that they think they got it all figured out. They're panicking inside. They have hope that the direction they're going in is good. Mm. But the reality is you can break through that veneer very easily by saying, listen, let me help you get there. Let me help you get there. Listen, God has good plans in store for you. He wants you to be blessed. You want to be an engineer? God put that in you. You didn't all of a sudden say, I want to be an engineer. Uh-huh. God put the engineering in you, and God will bring that out of you. And there's a way to be able to do that. So one way I know to affect anybody, anywhere, but including the colleges, is begin to don't be hateful, don't be religious, you know, don't, you know, this is mine and not yours, but to be open and kind and long-suffering and not being defensive of yourself. And God doesn't need anybody to defend him. You know, you can actually love someone who doesn't love God, and that can break through
absolutely
those barriers there. And you think about it, if somebody's pushing really hard, this is their agenda. You know, you can marry anybody you want to, you can kill your children in your womb if you want to. It's going to be my way or the highway. I mean, that's their agenda. That's a sad person because there is no boundaries anywhere in that. It's just all over the place. And what's going to happen is that, you know, God didn't design it that way. So they're going to be constantly filled with disappointment. Well, if you love them in the midst of that, when they bounce back from that, they're going to find out God loves them. God's got a plan for their life. And just like God forgave me and forgave John and continues to shed his grace on us, and he'll do that for them as well. God loves them. So I want to encourage you. You know, that's encouraging to hear about that prophetic dream about revival breaking loose on college campuses. And we just speak that over even the University of West Florida in the Gulf Coast, that revival would break out at the University of West Florida in Jesus' name.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.